Good day. I'm Brad White, ICANN's Director of Communications for North America. This call is a follow-up to the quarterly reports which were posted to the ICANN website on November 30th. This call affords the community and others an opportunity to ask any questions that may have arisen as a result of our posting of those reports. If you have a question and you are online, please type it into the box labeled Submit Questions Here. If you're on the phone, press #3. The operator will put you into the queue. Let me also add at this point that while this call is in English, it is being simultaneously translated into 6 additional languages: Spanish, French, Chinese, Russian, Arabic, and Portuguese. So if you are on one of those lines, same thing, just hit #3. Then you can ask your question, and we will hear the English interpretation. We're seeing no questions in the queue at this point, so I'm going to raise a couple of questions that have come up very recently. Joran, this first question goes to you. You met last week with David Rettle, the newly named NTIA Administrator and the Assistant Secretary of Commerce for the U.S. Should we take anything away from the fact that he met with you on his very first day on the job?
No, it was more pure luck for me. I was planning to come to Washington for quite a while, and I had the opportunity to meet David actually in the morning. I think that he was very new into the job. Of course, during the transition, we had close working relationships with NTIA, and it's important for us to continue that relationship with working with the U.S. government as well as other governments around the world. So it was more of a coincidence.
Did Rettle discuss Europe's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, with you?
Everybody talks to me about GDPR. It's one of those things. We have said many times now that GDPR is really the first time the policy-making process within ICANN is affected by legislation. And that's something we are partly learning how to handle. It's also a new type of legislation in that sense that it's a behavior legislation. And because it's not been enacted yet, it's not started yet, it starts in May, we are trying to find as much common ground and as much as knowledge as we can by talking to many different parties. So in all my meetings over the last couple of months, GDPR has been as a discussion more or less all the time. Thank you.
Joran, we may have people on the line who are totally unfamiliar with the issue. For the layperson, can you give a very simple explanation of exactly what GDPR is?
No. It's hard to describe it, but if you walk from the other side of the question and ask the intention with the law, and it's important that ICANN doesn't have any views on the sort of politics about it or anything related to that. We are dealing with it because it's a law. But the intention of the law is to protect primarily citizens of Europe's privacy. So ICANN is not only the only organization that is affected by this law. There's a lot of work going around for many companies around the world who has customers' relationship with the European citizens to figure out a way to be compliant with the law. So the whole idea behind the law is to protect European citizens' privacy in an IT world. For ICANN, it's really two sides of the equation. One side is, of course, our own internal systems, where we are in the process of going through the systems we have to make sure that the support systems we have for the community is compliant with the law. And it ranges from everything from support for the community traveling to follow-up systems, which we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap to think that we are compliant with the law. And the other side of the sort of outside of it is, of course, the WHOIS systems. The WHOIS system is something that predates ICANN, and it's been around for a very, very long time, even in the sort of IT world. And it's also something that has been debated in the community through different programs and policies for a fairly long time. So we have, together with the community, we have set up a path how to handle the who is question. Just to reiterate some of them, first we went out and asked the community for input, what we call the work, you know, how is who is actually used. And we got that, I think that was in June or July timeframe. And that is actually a basis for the whole legislation, because if you store any information, you have to have a reason why. So the so-called user cases are important in that. We then, as you may, some of you know, we hired an external law firm, Hamilton in Sweden, to help us. And we provided them with a set of questions which we publicized. It's been also important for us to be transparent in everything we do. We are short going to release community members' questions that we transfer to the Hamilton law firm, and we will publicize the answers to those questions very, very soon. The intention, of course, is that we will, over the next month or so, together with come up with proposals for solutions when it comes to compliance to the WHOIS system, which we will also ask the community for input on. Thank you.
Thank you, Joran. We've got a question from Jim Pendergast, and this is also for you, Joran. During the executive summary recording that was posted a few days ago, Joran spoke of spending coming in at $6 million less than budgeted, but then said it was because ICANN hadn't spent the money as of yet, but that it would be spent by the end of 2017. So are expenses really $6 million under projections, or is it simply a matter of timing on when that $6 million will eventually be spent, and what projects are being delayed to account for that $6 million? Thanks.
Thank you, Jim, for that question. And you picked up on the reason why I said it, because when you do a budget for such a large organization, or even a small organization, what happens is that you know that you're going to do something, but you're unsure about the timing. And because when we decide, for instance, to go into a project, we can plan for it to happen in April, but it actually starts in May. So the sort of deficit in the project there is really projects that we plan to do for the rest of the year but we haven't started yet. And some of those things could be, for instance, that we haven't seen all the costs for a meeting that we just had. Or when we plan the meetings for a year, there are differences in when the cost actually comes to us. So, for the more detailed part, I will leave over to Xavier. Thank you.
Thank you, Joran, and thank you, Jim, for the question. And just to elaborate a little bit further on what Joran indicated, there's a little bit of seasonality in how ICANN operates in the beginning of the fiscal year corresponding to the month from July through September are usually slower activities. We do try to plan for that slower activity in the budget and the timing of our budget. Nonetheless, we've seen slower activity overall in the first few months. The larger projects that contribute to the delayed expenses that you are pointing out, that contribute to the $6 million that you mentioned, are found notably with reviews. The reviews schedule is something that we reflect in the budget about 8 months in advance of the year, and we see simply right now that the reviews that were scheduled to happen and the corresponding costs of those reviews to happen early in the fiscal year are probably going to happen later in the year, in the fiscal year, than originally planned. That's one element. Joran also mentioned the timing of travel expenses and meeting expenses, which also contributes to it. And there's also a number of community-led projects with notably the IDN working groups that have progressed slower than originally anticipated. And I simply want to reiterate the fact that the timing of our expenses within the fiscal year was originally defined for the budget between 6 and 10 months ago, and that creates obviously a certain amount of inaccuracies in the timing by which expenses occur. But we do see those projects going on, we do see them progressing, and we therefore do expect that the expenses will occur. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. We have two questions for Akram Atala. The first from Jim Pendergrast again. In the GDD summary section of the report, it talks about testing of the Ebero program. Do you know how many second-level registrations were involved in each of those test exercises? Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks, Jim, for the question. We did several Ebero exercises, and they were all voluntarily TLDs that were actually being undelegated, and all of them had only the one required second-level domain nick.tld registered in there. So only one second-level registration in all of the exercises. Thank you.
Thanks, Akram. Another question for you from John Poole. Where's the, and this regards in the report, page 24, 2734 general inquiries. Where's the underlying data? How are these general inquiries received and handled? What does ICANN do with the data? Why isn't ICANN sharing the underlying data with the global internet community, particularly if they involve issues concerning domain names, registrars, and or registry operators? Is ICANN management not aware there are several stakeholder groups, reviews, and CCWGs that might find this data helpful? Are any of these inquiries about new GTLDs failing to work as expected on the internet, which ICANN knew would happen since at least 2003?
Thank you, John, for the question. This is these 2734 general inquiries are basically questions that come to our global support center. And the questions that are categorized as general inquiries typically are redirections to information that's already available in our website, or questions that are not in the in ICANN's remit, or questions that do not are not categorized into any of the different areas that we report our data on. We probably could make that data available. I don't know why we don't, but we will look into that and see what we can make available for anybody's interested. And we are looking also at the making a lot of our data open and available in our open data initiative. So we'll look at that mechanism to make the data more readily available for everybody. Thank you.
And this is David Conrad. To add on to what Akram said with regards to the Open Data Initiative in relation to these inquiries, we would actually be interested in the community's view as to what part of the inquiries is relevant to their continued discussions. All of the data that we are collecting through the Global Support Center, we intend at least to provide the summary statistics, and the level of detail that we actually provide is, of course, an area that we're continuing to investigate within the Open Data Initiative pilot.
Thank you, David. We have a follow-up question from John Poole for Akram. From the 1,530 registrant phone calls, 2,734 general inquiries, and 3,526 cases processed in fiscal year 18, quarter one, what can you, meaning ICANN management, tell the global internet community is really going on? For example, are the registrant phone calls about particular issues, registrars, registry operators, GTLDs, or CCTLDs? Have you even analyzed the data to discern issues and trends, and why haven't you shared that information with the global internet community and ICANN community? Why is ICANN repeatedly failing in transparency and accountability, including requiring your contracted parties to be transparent and accountable? From your report on page 24, the global internet community has no information to judge what is really going on. What ICANN is spending its considerable resources responding to, and whether ICANN is wisely using its resources or just being wasteful, and whether ICANN is appropriately handling and responding to these issues or constantly failing in one or more areas.
Thank you, John, for your questions. That's a very comprehensive question. We have actually analyzed all of the requests and inquiries that we've got. We've identified the ones that are issues from the restaurants, and we've broken them down into different areas. We have a report that we shared in the last ICANN meeting and that information is available on our website. Let me do this. We will take that your questions, and we will reply to them directly, since you have so many questions embedded in this, and we'll point you to the information as well so that you can see it. But we've done that, and there is now a restaurant landing page on the ICANN website where you can go and look at all the information that we have available for restaurants, as well as educational, and where we direct them on certain issues, where to go, and how to deal with the issues that they have. So we will get back to you on all of these questions in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. We have a question involving the KSK role. This should probably go to Matt Larson, who is ICANN's point person on this issue. Oh, excuse me. You had something to add, Joran. Forgive me.
Thank you. John, I want to add something to this. Since for the last 16 months or 18 months since I came on board, I agree that we have to increase both the transparency for us. Transparency creates accountability. And just to give sort of a highlight of some of the things we've done, one of the things you see now is the CEO report, which we, between all ICANN meetings, we also publicize. We added on, which I want to mention, is the complaint officer. We have the ability to, in a transparent way, add some of the questions or actually complain to us. You could find more information on our website. We added this call, the opportunity for you to ask any questions to us, which we answer to. We added the Q&A during the ICANN meetings with the whole management team. We rebuilt the structure of the and I'm now searching for the words. We have a new system. You can go online to see accountability indicators, where we can go online to see many other things we're doing. This is just some of the things we do to increase transparency. The ODI project, Open Data Initiative, is another one. We are also rebuilding our website in the ITI project to build up a documentation management system to be able to, for you to find more information. So, but I'm not saying that we're there yet. We're going to continue to do this. Another example is the flow chart and manual project where we went through all the processes within ICANN. We're also in the, another thing we've done in the new current budget process is that we're coming out for a two-year plan where you can have a more ability to engage in our budgets. So please continue to question us. Please continue to chase us. We will try to make better on the transparency, because I agree it creates accountability for us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Joran. So to the KSK role and Matt Larson, when will you announce a date for the changing of the cryptographic keys that help protect the domain name system, what is commonly called the key role?
Thanks, Brad. In terms of announcing a date, we're not going to do that in the immediate future, but we are going to have an update on the status of the project that we're going to announce by the end of next week. Let me give just a brief update now on where we are, and that means I need to give a brief recap of how we got to where we are. The KSK role had been planned for October 11th, and in late September we announced that we were going to postpone it at least one quarter to January 11th, 2018. And the reason for that was that we got data for the first time that gave us objective data as to the number of resolvers that would not be ready. And that data was coming from the very latest version of a particular resolver that has the ability to actually report what keys it has configured. And there was a larger percentage of those validators reporting, those resolvers reporting that they had the old key than we were comfortable with. And since we didn't know why, we made the decision to postpone the KSK roll so we could gather more information. And in fact, we've been in the process of doing that since then. We engaged a contractor to actually reach out and try to literally contact individual administrators of those resolvers and find out why wasn't their resolver reporting the new key? Why didn't it have the new key? And we are gotten some preliminary data from that contractor. We're expecting the final report from them literally this week. And based on the findings we have now, I can give a preview of that announcement next week. We're going to announce that we are not going to roll on January 11th, 2018, as we had said that we might do. We don't yet have a date for the roll, and the reason for that is the second thing that will be in that announcement, and that's that we're going to be working with the community and get the community input to help us determine what criteria we should use to determine that it will be possible to roll the key in a safe and secure manner. So we want to work with the community on that and have them help us determine the criteria.
Thanks, Matt. Joran has been quoted in the past as saying this is one of the top technical issues for ICANN. Is it fair to say, based on what you just said, that that remains the case?
Definitely. We've been doing a lot of work since that announcement in late September, and we see a lot of work to continue, and this remains a high priority.
Thank you very much, Matt. Joran, the next question involves ICANN's finance. ICANN is currently in the process of developing its FY19 budgets. How would you describe the overall financial health of the organization?
The overall state is fairly good. We have a substantial lot, but it's more of a question what the community decides what we should do with the money. Most of the money that we have is decided upon by the community for special projects. Just give you an example, we are having 3 meetings per year. That costs roughly $15 million. We have a travel program that costs $3 million. And these are not saying that we should look into what we're doing with them, but just to emphasize the fact that they are decided by the community. And I think that my way of looking at this is that we have to be more cautious about new costs that we bring on. It's easy to add a cost, it's harder to take them away. So we're in the process of together with the board and then also with the community, of course, to look into a little bit about the future. That's one of the reasons why we're now doing it, looking into 2 years, but we also have to look into a five-year plan very, very closely. So I would say that we are in good shape, but being more cautious, being more thoughtful about some of the things that we do is going to be necessary over time. But it is very much the community involvement in this that is sort of my guiding light in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Joran. We have no other questions in the queue, so with that, we're going to shut this down. If questions should arise following this, please submit them to us, engagement@icann.org. Again, engagement@icann.org. And with that, I'll say thank you to the participants and thank you to the presenters. I hope everyone has a good day.